What is up, everyone? This is John Pappas coming to you with another episode of Inference Swap and Inference Swap Radio. Thank you for joining us today. We want to ask you to go to InferenceSwap.com and subscribe, and Inference Swap Radio on Google Play and iTunes. Hey, guess what? We got a YouTube channel, too. We need you to go there. We need your support. Today is going to be another episode of Table Talk with me, your host, John Pappas. I'm excited to be here with you today. Listen, I promised you guys a great interview with Radon Haskins last week, and we did the interview. However, we had a power outage, and we lost the video and the audio, so we're going to be redoing it Monday and putting it out Monday or Tuesday. So instead of that, we have another great interview from somebody that's part of One Church in WI and the Table Network, somebody who's recently not only found the Lord, but has been putting his discipleship into practice as he's gone through Reclaim. So today we're going to have Jack Spohr come with us and tell us a little bit about his story, what he's been doing, and how Reclaim has been helping him to set a table in places that he would never get to do so, and do something probably he never thought he'd be doing in his whole life. So I want to welcome today my buddy, your pal, Jack Spohr. What's up, Jackie? It's going good, man. I'm glad you're here today. Thank you for bailing me out with another podcast. It's exciting to see what God's doing in your life. It's exciting to see that you've just taken the principles of Reclaim and just began to, you know, allow them to saturate your heart as you saturate the places that you're setting a table. So today we want to talk a little about setting a table and what's that, and just the process of why we do that and how we go about it. And so why don't you give us a little story of how you came to the conclusion that this was the right kind of thing for you and the right kind of discipleship that you should go through?
Well, Johnny, I'd definitely say that, you know, going through Reclaim and stuff and how it has that framework there talking about building relationships with people and then, you know, bringing them the gospel and stuff, it definitely hits home a little bit with just bringing people in for me. You know, I've always seemed to attract people that are broken coming to me for advice, coming to me just generally for comfort. And going through Reclaim, I kind of understand now more why that is. It's the evangelical heart I have, you know, just to bring people in and stuff. But, you know, it happened on a whim where me and the wife were looking for somewhere to eat one time, and we came across this little spot in town here, and they had amazing roast beef sandwiches. Shout out to Jill Marie's. Unfortunately, they are shutting down, but we've had some really great tables there where we'd be bringing people in once a week until the COVID hit, and we had to put a stop to that temporarily. But it's all about bringing people in that don't normally feel like they fit in with society, or they don't fit in, you know, in a church or anything like that. Everybody needs some love and relationships in their life. And, you know, some of these people, you know, you really can, you know, bring them in and really feel them in your heart when you're actually showing them some love. And
So for those who don't know, we do at One Church, we're part of the Table Network, and we do a discipleship. I don't want to call it a program. We call it Nine Conversations through a Book of Reclaim. And we put that book in Jack's hand, and I had that book, and I was the privilege of walking Jack and a couple other guys through Reclaim. So to get you to the point where you thought, I need to make a table, what was it about the gospel that you learned in Reclaim through this discipleship process that you go like, I can do this, or I should be doing this? I mean, what was it that stuck out to you as the gospel side of this that inspired you to use the gift of evangelism that clearly God has gifted you with?
Well, Johnny, I'd say, forgive me, I don't know the exact scripture right now, but I believe it's in 1 John where it's talking about God is love, you know. Mm-hmm. Basically, love is God, and by showing people love, that is like the truest thing that you could do to anybody, is just show them love, bring them in, and love on them. You know, it touches base on if you have any hate in your heart or anything like that, which hate is, to me, a broad statement, where hate could be just judgment on somebody else because of the shoes they wear or something like that. I mean, maybe they can't afford a brand new pair of New Balance shoes or Nikes or something like that, you know, Reeboks, where they're getting like some Walmart special for $10. That's all they can afford. They might even have to go to a thrift store or something like that. But it's about getting rid of all those judgments and stuff and just truly loving on people and being there for them in a loving relationship through God. And the crazy thing about it is I've actually been excessively forward with people and told them, you know, through my mission with God, this is what this is about. You know, I'm inviting you into a table to basically show you love, to be the loving friend that I can be, non-judgmental. We could sit down, have a cup of coffee, have a meal, and really get to know each other on this personal level. And I mean, I've done it at this Jill Marie's place for a few months, you know, prior to the COVID, and now I'm getting back into it, and they said they'll be open for another month or two as of this podcast. But I've also been doing it at work, and just my work relationships have been opening up. And I had one guy, I don't want to name drop, but if he hears this at any point in time, he'll know exactly who he is. I tried explaining to him about the missional community, and he just straight away told me, F that, I don't want to be any part of whatever this conversation is. He's like, I believe in God, but that is not me. And over the course of time, you know, I've worked with him for about 18 months now, but over this last real 6 months, we've really grown the relationship where, you know, he had a need the other day, he had a flat tire, and I said, you know what, buddy, I got you. And this is after this guy has cussed me out, almost cussed me out, I should say, because he was frustrated at a situation which wasn't directly my fault, but I still showed him grace and said, hey, man, I'm still here for you. If you need me, I'm going to take care of you. I actually gave him a ride to his car, which is at his apartment, and, you know, I really took care of him, showed him some love, and then he actually listened to me about a week later when I was talking to somebody else about what I've been doing through Reclaim and the Table Network. And this guy, he like perked up immediately. He goes, dude, if I would have known that's what this was about, that it's not about, you know, all the have-tos, all the judgments, all the laws of the church, you know, going every Sunday religiously and stuff like that. He's like, if I would have known what that was about, you would have, you know, he's like, I would have listened to you. But I told him, I was like, your heart wasn't ready to listen to me because our relationship wasn't there yet. I was like, but I just want you to know that I'm here for you if you ever need something. And I definitely feel that hit home with him when we had that conversation.
That's good. And what I want the audience to hear on this is I was telling them that we go through Reclaim. And Reclaim is 9 conversations. And the early conversations are about the gospel, who is Jesus, what is a disciple, how do we live in a life of freedom, those kind of things. But the later conversations is what I want you to hear in Jack's conversation tonight, which is Jack is starting from an expression or a demonstration of Christ by loving others. Like you see this logo on church buildings all the time, which says love God, love people. But they don't really know how to do that because that expression is meaning if you come to us, we're going to love you, right? If you come to the church building, we're going to love you. And I want you to notice that as Jack has gone through Reclaim, his first steps were to go set a table to a different group of people. And so I want to just for our audience sake, talk about the framework by which we sort of disciple others and the comparison. So this is really important, the comparison between church and what we're doing is what I'm talking about, Jack. And in most local churches, especially the church in America, we see a version of 3 spaces all the time, and that's the version your friend that you're talking to in your story there is rejecting. And we have no answers for the 75% of America that reject the type of infrastructure the church has. It's not to say that it's evil or bad or whatever. They're just, for whatever reason, and there's many reasons, like your friend was angry or something at the church and just dismissed it completely, didn't see it as a legitimate thing for his life. So does that mean that that guy doesn't get to see or experience God? And in the church's expression, what they do is their life in three spaces starts at a weekend service, and that's the place where they minister to people. That's the place where they feel they're reaching the broader community, right? Their second space is what they call life groups or small groups, okay? And that's the place after you go to the church, you get instructions by the church to go to somebody's house, and they form small units of community there, so people in the church get to know each other. And usually they do that around like a sermon, like guy preaches on love and they talk about love. And then the third space is what I call the hopeful space. And that is that the services and the small groups in institutional church hopefully will get people on mission to go invite their friends to their services and to their small groups. Now, we all know like probably about 10% of our churches even will do a small group. And the small groups aren't a missional thing. In other words, they're not going out. They're for relationships within the church for those who want them. Now, when you heard just Jack's, I guess you want to call it story there, is he's talking about the gospel. His first instinct was God is love and he's loved me. So now I have to go love others. And when we talk about like One Church or Table Network, we looked at scripture and we began to see that the church's life in three spaces are actually backwards. So what does that mean? They're actually in reverse. So in our life in three spaces, think about what you just heard in Jack's story. His first space was to go to work in the norms and networks of his everyday life, based on Matthew 28:18 through 20, which says, go and make disciples, or as you are going, go and make disciples. And he begins to create relationships in those communities. So that was his first space, but notice it started with going. His second space was, he was talking about Jill Marie's, a coffee shop that he loves, that his friends love, that most people in this area love. And he began to go, hey, let's go have coffee over there to push in on those relationships. So his second space was a place that he found. That could have been a bar, it could have been a restaurant, it could have been a roller rink, anywhere where those people would connect and we could connect with the people in that Jill Marie's coffee shop, correct? And then the third space is something that Jack has been through, which is I recognize that Jack was pressing in, that Dave and Cliff and some other guys were pressing in, and we found another space for those who are actually pressing in to the Lord that we could disciple to go do the life in three spaces that we do. Now, what's so interesting about that is you're actually bringing the gospel to somebody and you're showing them what you do as you're bringing them the gospel. So it's not like you got to get them back to a service and they have to go do that. Like they could literally find their life in three spaces in a variety of different way with a different group. Do you get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And that's the difference, because a lot of people ask me, they ask you, like, what's the difference between church and missional community? Sorry about the pop, guys. I don't have a pop filter on. We're literally in a 100-degree garage right now sweating our butts off. So, like, we're just trying to get this podcast out to you guys. But we wanted to talk about this fluid framework of how to reach people and setting a table. And so in doing so, Jack has brought the gospel. One, he's gone. In the second place, he's gone and found a place. In his second space, he's gone and connected with people at the place. Jack, do you know the people that work at Jill Marie's?
Oh, yeah. I
do
know
they
them.
Know you?
They know me amazingly well.
Okay, so then you're not only connecting with the people that you've brought to that place, you're also connecting with the people in that place. You've gone like, this is my coffee shop. I'm going to know everybody. This is my second space. And then we're looking to get people into the third space, which is when they press on. And we were going, you were going really well. We were going really well. And then COVID hit and we weren't allowed to go there anymore. Right.
Yeah.
And so now we're on the other side of COVID pandemic quarantine. And surprisingly, this is, how many times have you done it since COVID, the quarantine's been over? So you,
I have not missed a week since the opening up of our little corner of Northwest Indiana.
3 weeks now or two?
I believe it's 2 weeks now.
Yeah, 2 weeks now, and all of these people are showing back up and more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was pretty exciting to see. Now, ask yourself in the everyday church life where this is happening, where disciples are being made, where your congregation is actually intentional about making disciples, right? And so what's the benefits of setting up a table with a bunch of strangers or people you really don't know that you found?
The biggest benefit is just sharing the love. I mean, everyone loves to feel loved. I mean, that is the biggest thing you got to think of. As far as I go, you know, one of the guys that has been coming to Jill's with us is a guy from work. So that proves just in that, you know, I'm talking at work. This guy's coming from work. And then he's actually talking to one of my friends that I've known for a long time. I used to work with in my past life at AutoZone. But
so wait, let me ask you a question about him. Your work is your first space, your norms and networks.
Yes.
And he's coming. He's actually driving out to your second space, is where you've chose a coffee shop to connect with people.
Yes.
And he's coming out to connect with you because of your first space experience. Now, let me ask you this. Is this guy going to go to one of the bigger churches or smaller churches?
Not at all.
And why do you think that is?
He actually has came and said that he is irreligious. He told me that he doesn't really follow that. But the thing is I don't want to throw his name out or anything like that, but he actually texted me the other day. And he said, I could actually pull it up if you give me a quick second, but he actually...
While you pull that up, I can make this comment about irreligious people. Irreligious people are not necessarily people that don't love the Lord or don't feel God's presence. You hear in America this idea of spirituality all the time. But what they don't want to do is sing three songs by Jesus Culture or sit there through an hour-long sermon, right? That's religious things that we as Christians do that are nice, they're awesome, people are talented, orators of sermons are very talented. However, 75 to 80% of the people in America don't want to hear that. So instead of creating a pulpit in a building, he basically creates conversations at a table. And what was this guy like when you brought him in there?
Well, I could tell you a quick backstory is at work, this guy gets picked on a lot. I've definitely connected with him. He, seems to have a little bit of trouble at times, you know, connecting with people and stuff. But I just think that's because people just don't want to take the time to just show some compassion and love towards everybody, you know? And that's why the other day I was actually surprised that he out of the blue texted me and he said, "Hey man, I love you, bro. Just want to say, I appreciate you. I'm sorry if I'm expletive. I don't mean to be same expletive, but I appreciate all you try to do." Now this guy, I can tell you guys that again, he's sometimes picked on at work and me and him, we've bumped heads. But I've always maintained a constant with him as far as trying to show him grace and love and just, you know, trying to take care of him a little bit here and there, make sure that he can see that I'm here for him if he needs it. But then he was having a bad day one day, and I said, "Tim," sorry to throw his name out, but I told him, I said, "Hey, bud, how about you come to the coffee shop?" He didn't give me an answer that day, but every time I've said it, I got him on Facebook as one of my friends. Every time I've just thrown out a random post on Facebook, inviting people into the coffee shop just to sit down, have a cup of coffee. He has not missed one session with me. Not one.
Let me say this, too. Because I get to watch you at work, and I'm there with you. If these conversations, what we do in these conversations, is we allow the Spirit to lead, understanding that the kingdom of God has been seeded into this world, and he's working on all different kinds of people in the places that they need to be worked on. So I want you as Christians to think about when God was working on you and you became a Christian, right? Like, you don't even really remember how that actually happened. You just know, like, you weren't a Christian and then you were. And we get to see this play out in conversations all the time. So why am I saying that? In these conversations, we're not sitting there like going, in John chapter 3 it says this, and in John 3:16 it says this. We're not doing that. We're creating legitimate conversations by inviting people into our lives, and we're letting the natural flow of a normal conversation take place to the point where we become friends, right? And then even if they say they reject God, you've already started a conversation about God that gets them thinking. And the goal isn't to convert them, because we can't convert anybody. It's God who does that, right? God builds his church. God's the one that saves them. So no matter what they say, we stay in that conversation. And when the opportunity for us to speak good news arises, that's what we do.
Yeah, exactly. You know, as it said, to have a change of heart, the only one that can do that for us is God. And then it also says God is love. So how do you affect change? You got to love on people. And like I said, with this guy particularly, I mean, he might be quirky, but I love the guy. You know, he's a good guy at heart. And it's really awesome to see, you know, when you invite somebody in like this and sit at a table. Again, he gets picked on sometimes at work. And when I bring him in, and then my other friends are at the table, and he's just as popular as anyone else at that table. Nobody's picking on anybody. Everyone's inviting everybody in. Everyone's having great conversation. And from me inviting him in, he's making friends through me by sitting at a table with people that he would have never met otherwise.
Now, another way to say that is you're creating community.
Definitely.
Family.
Definitely.
Come on. And so, now we're going to wrap this up in the next 3 minutes here. What I want people to see is there's an organic nature to discipleship that happens on mission. And what happens in churches, we focus on spiritual formation and programming. But those are people that have probably most of them, I would say 90% of them, have been in church for a long time, or were in church and left the church and came back for whatever reason. But they never actually have gone through anything that has intentionality towards their brothers and sisters and their neighbors that we're called to. And right now, when you see the racism stuff that's going on, and you see the looting, and you see the issues that are out there, the Table Network is the perfect solution for this. What we're doing is the perfect solution, because we're inviting people to our tables over meals and coffees and food and sodas and whatever, and we're talking to them and hearing them. A big part of this is just listening to what people say. And that's what you're saying with your buddy. He was picked on over here, probably isolated, and was on guard with everybody over there. And here comes Quirky Jack. That's your new nickname. Quirky Sporky. Quirky Sporky, who just loving on people, doesn't care about all what everybody else is saying, and befriends this dude, and now you've invited him not only to your table, but to your life, and that's super, super important. So as we've sort of shared a little bit about the fluid framework for discipleship and how we go about it, Jack, is there anything you want to say to just close this out as we close?
If anybody has any doubts about what we do, I just want you to remember the story of the woman at the well, because it wraps this up perfectly. The fields are ripe for the harvest, and there's not enough laborers. And if you really read into the story, Jesus didn't judge that woman. He said, I see who you are, and I still love you. I came here for you. And I invite all of you to do the same to your neighbors. Get to know them. Have a barbecue. I mean, right now it's beautiful weather out. We're in the middle of the early summer, and I mean, today is 70 degrees and gorgeous out. Have a cookout with your neighbors. Get to know them on a personal level. You know, if they don't want to come to a cookout, say, hey, how about we go to the coffee shop? Just remember that you have to be intentional with your neighbors. You have to love your neighbors, and you have to love God. That's all you need.
There it is. And Jack has definitely done it. He starts, I guess what you're pretty saying is start with what you know and look for those around you that God might be working on, and then ask God, who's next? Who are these people around me that I might be able to get into relationship with? And instead of going back to our corners, we can actually step into the water as Peter did off that boat towards Jesus, into the wonderful world of, quote, faith. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Jack, for sharing your story today. I think this is going to be encouraging to a lot of people that are listening. And I would like to say, as somebody who's like a leading this thing up, that this is what it's about. The sermons, the songs, those things are nice and they're not bad by any means, but they really don't accomplish the mission of God, but in an attractional way. And we're called to go. And so we've really taken that serious. I think we have backing in the New Testament to go, yeah, this is exactly what Jesus handed off to his disciples. And so we're trying to reclaim those truths. And if anybody ever needs help understanding this process, want to know that it's more about the message and less about methodology, get a hold of me, get a hold of, and I got a crew here that is doing it. And we're getting ready to just go into this Northwest Indiana and see what God will do. Hey, I want to thank you for joining us. Thank you, Jack, for sharing your story. This has been another Table Talk with John Pappas. Go to InferenceSwap.com to check us out and subscribe there. Don't forget at Inference Swap Radio on Google Play and iTunes, and our new YouTube channel, which will have a video out this next week. Go there and help us by subscribing there. You'll enjoy it. All right, I'm out of here, Jack.
See ya.